Yo, what's up? What is up?
Yo,
starting to feel like a broken record.
Why? Oh,
I feel like I always started that
starting
way.
But
you know
way?
What? It's genuine. Today is a special episode.
It's genuine.
It's genuine.
I was going to say, introduce me already. Let's go.
We got my Valentine up in here. This is probably coming out in like, what, April?
Probably.
But this is still the week of Valentine's Day we're recording this.
I just listened to the Valentine's Day episode.
What'd you think about it?
I really liked it. I knew most everything that was being discussed, but it was funny to hear it again because I was literally in my car screaming. And then I text the group and I'm like, oh my God, I'm like sending them references from something they recorded weeks ago.
Have you ever heard any of the stories that I told?
Yes.
You have?
Yes,
okay.
There were some I hadn't heard.
Really?
Forensics King. On the phone.
Forensics King?
You are the Forensics King.
The phone thing?
I genuinely don't think I've told a soul that.
I did not know that.
Until I said it on the show.
That's really bold and brave of you.
I didn't expect
this. What can I say?
I did not see this coming, but people really got a kick out of the story of me getting broken up over drawing Weed Smoke and Smoke Up. I thought people were going to be like, man, what a weirdo.
I mean, it's kind of like a legendary cringe moment.
Yeah.
Like it really is.
Well, honestly, I forgot about it though. That was one aspect that I forgot about in the story. And
the SpongeBob part?
Yes.
That was honestly like,
and I was shocked to think of 12-year-old Ryan drawing that. I was appalled.
And I had never been like exposed to
that
it.
That is not in
I just
Ryan's
saw it on
nature.
TV.
That's okay.
That's what I'm saying. Like, how did that even come about? Like I can't fathom how that came out of you at that age.
MTV, bro. Honestly, that was... No, the truth is I watched... my brothers and I... There was a while when we like didn't have cable or anything. We were going through extreme poverty and we just had DVDs that we had for many years. Mm. And we watched Scary Movie 1 and 2 over and over and over. And Shorty's always smoking weed. So I just... Yeah. And they're always laughing. So I just... I don't know. It was funny.
You're like, this will be great. Like,
Oh, she'll love it.
Yeah, you were thinking in your head, she's going to fall in love with me.
After I draw to this. Me, that was not even just cringe. It was cringe sending.
Well, I'm kind of upset
so
I've never received one from you, though. I was thinking that in my head. Like, I have never received such a drawing from my husband. I have been with him almost 10 years. I've never seen him draw
you
SpongeBob.
You play your cards right, baby.
All right. We'll see.
I might draw you a little something.
Yo, and speaking of which, by the way, Jenny was so jealous that she didn't get to share any of her Valentine stories. So I think we should give her a platform and let her share. Yeah,
really?
And let her.
You would do that for
and you
me?
Guys get to just see my jealousy live.
No.
Hey, keep the camera on Ryan the whole time.
I'll be like
reaction video.
Remember, no names though.
Right.
Oh my gosh, I would never use a name. I work in PR and marketing. Mm, I know.
You're
that.
Right, of course.
Okay.
You're media trained.
Yeah. Okay. I have to tell one story in particular that I thought would be hilarious because Ryan opened up the show saying, "Hey, all you lonely lovers." Mm. What's the Valentine's thing he said?
That was it.
That it's just basically
What's the first memory, whatever? Nobody gets Valentine.
Like as a kid.
That was me. Okay, listen.
Oh.
But there's a plot twist.
Dun, dun, dun.
Drama. So what happened was I don't even remember. I think it was an English class or something. And I was in the 7th grade. I was one of the new girls still. I had moved in less than like 6 months ago.
Was this in North Carolina?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
It was at our middle school. So I was in class and everybody, it was the type of day whenever like the candy grams get passed out.
Oh yeah.
I always dreaded the candy grams. Okay. Because I never got any.
Same.
Or it would be from my girlfriend and I'm like, ugh. I love you, but I don't want one from you, like, you know? So anyway.
I want from a cute boy.
Yeah. Yeah. So the candy grams got pat and I didn't get any.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. Join the
club. So 20 minutes later in the class, the lady from the front office brings in roses.
What?
And says,
that face, she meant roses.
Yeah.
Roses.
You look so shocked.
And said, "This is for Jennifer Maves." And I'm like, "What? Me?
Oh.
Me? Like, are you kidding me? Like the fact that I got the like the grand finale. I got like the bonus points at the end."
Are they keeping score?
I had no candy grams, but I had those roses.
She had the bonus points.
I had to pretty much tell the guy that, like, he had never, ever expressed to me that he liked me before this moment. Yeah. And then I just got these roses from this random person that I don't really pay attention to. So it's like, oh, yeah, thank you. Like, but
was this person in your class?
Yes, he was in my class at the time. But here's the thing. It was a secret admirer. It took me days to figure out who it was. So that's how he kept his cool, by being in my class. Because he's like, oh, like, she doesn't know it's me yet.
He didn't tell you? How'd you find out?
We ended up, because one of his friends ended up telling me. And then eventually he texted me and got my number from somewhere else. And then we were like, oh, friends. But I never had interest in him. But it was just a really nice feeling. That was all. I was like, man, dude, that was one of the happiest moments of my life.
I love that, like, me and Ryan's stories were, like, hyper embarrassing and, like super mega cringe. And Jenny's like, somebody bought me roses. Yeah.
She got a candy gram.
Yeah.
Hard life. You had to reject them.
Nah, you're right.
If I had known you then, I probably wouldn't have sent you a candy gram, because I would have been too, like, I would have been too intimidated.
Aww. Sure. One of my favorite Valentine's Day, too, in high school was... Emily and I were really close friends, Ryan's little sister, of course, and we're still best friends. Mm-hmm. But she walks in. We all had to sit in the atrium in the morning, like in the main room before we go to our classes, right? So she just came in and I was standing around, you know, with another friend, and she comes in and she just goes, hey, happy Valentine's Day, and gives me a kiss on the cheek.
Aww.
And I'm like, I'm very much like an anti-touchy-feely person. I'm just like,
stay away from me.
Like, okay. I wasn't dating Ryan yet, but it was just really cute. That's never forget that.
Yeah, your Valentine stories are way better than ours. Yeah. Ours deserve to be in, like, some sort of, like, museum of cringe.
The closest thing I ever had to a Valentine.
You're on the opposite end, though. Right. Like, that's why.
Right. Yeah. Exactly.
All your girls are telling my story.
Yeah, exactly.
The closest thing I ever had to a Valentine was in elementary school, when everybody in the class got a card.
Yeah.
So I always hated the holiday.
Damn, dude.
Can I also tell another story?
Please, come on.
Okay, this does not have something to do with Valentine's Day, but it is really precious, and it's about young love.
Okay.
It's good
on
vibes.
Yeah, it's on brand.
Yeah, it's good vibes. So everyone was talking about, oh, I have my first girlfriend, boyfriend, blah, 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 on that episode, and I was like, okay, beat ya. Pre-K.
Oh, bro, you don't know. Yeah, she was engaged.
I was married. I was engaged in pre-K. Okay, so what happened was,
like, four.
I went to pre-K in Tampa, Florida, and it was a big layout, and there's a huge common, like, area in the middle, and then on the sides there's classrooms, so everybody knows everybody, right? And then outside, it was like, we had like a little cabin outside. We had that one, what's it, tetherball, when you throw it around?
I think it's called tetherball.
The thing that spins around the pole?
Yeah.
Tether.
Why don't people play that anymore? Where'd that go?
You just don't see it anymore.
I know.
People were probably getting real hurt playing that game. Honestly, like.
Like wrapped around.
Yeah.
Teeth knocked out.
Yeah.
I feel that. Okay, yeah. So there's a tetherball thing. There are picnic tables, blah, blah, blah. I go back there and there is this little boy. And of course, I'm in pre-K, so he's an identical little boy. And he was sitting under a bench, and he's literally, like, weeping and, like, crying and so upset. And me, you know, kind-hearted.
Of course.
Three-year-old?
Four-year-old?
Pre-K? Yeah, you're like three.
I go up to this individual, and I'm like, hey, are you okay? Like, what can I do to help? He was sitting under this bench, and I kind of helped get him out underneath the bench. Like, what's wrong? Are you okay? And because I went up and helped him and actually gave him attention and showed some concern and compassion, he proposed to me.
Oh my God. And wait a minute. I feel like I missed part of the conversation.
No, that's exactly right.
That was quick.
What you heard was right. And I just met this guy, and he was like, yes, like, thank you so much, but in, like, three-year-old language and fourth-year-old language. But I still understood it. And he goes, will you marry me? Just like that. And I didn't hesitate.
And what did you say?
He was probably one of the cutest boys in my grade.
What was your answer?
It was yes.
The major school.
It was 100% yes.
So,
but let me tell you.
So you lied before God and you broke your oath and you're going to hell.
No. No, listen to this.
Thank God for me.
This is the sad part. And if anybody knows me, you know I watched That's a strange statement. Sorry, but okay. If anybody knows it, because it's not true. This is not true. It's not really a known fact about me. But I didn't watch Shrek until way late in my life.
Okay? Shrek?
Yeah.
Again, I feel I missed part of the conversation.
We just watched Shrek like 2 years ago for her first time.
What?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
She was a late child with an army dad and a mother from Germany.
But so it's because... Y'all have been
beating me up about not seeing any movies. And you're like, Jenny over here.
She gets it too.
Yeah,
and his wife gets it too. You're not alone in this. Yeah.
Honestly, I'm kind of shocked now that you and Casey are so close because, like,
we have a lot in common.
That's like her lifeblood is Shrek.
No, but Casey also didn't watch or do a lot before she met you guys.
True.
But anyway, okay, this is where Shrek comes in. One day, this is good storytelling here.
Yeah,
just hopping around. Okay. But so I walk in to the common room, and in the morning we're watching, like, everyone's watching Shrek. Like, it was just something we did. We, like, watched parts of movies while all, like, everybody came in.
I did that in pre-K.
Yeah.
Our
and
did.
Shrek was on, and Dakota was sitting, and ooh, my name dropped, Dakota.
Just pre-K. Like 20 years ago.
But anyway, so he was sitting next to another girl and, like, basically kind of, like, told me that it was done during Shrek. And that was the only memory I had, like, or understanding or memory I had related to Shrek for like 20 years.
So you were like, I'm never watching this again.
Yeah, it was like part of my first breakup. It was my first divorce.
It was traumatic for you.
To be fair, you do kind of have a very weird association with movies because, like, to this day, she still has not seen Terminator and she refuses to believe that they are not horror films.
Dude, how about this? This is so funny. I begged Casey for so many years to watch Rush Hour with me.
Oh my
God. It's like one of my favorite movies ever.
So good.
And like, I probably asked her 20 times before she finally goes, Nick, I am not into racing movies. I'm not into car movies. I don't want to watch that. And I was like, yeah, that's not what that movie is about.
They drive to and from locations.
I need to explain the Terminator thing. Nothing about that.
Oh, please.
The reason Explain that yourself. I was scared of Terminator is because I had a really powerful dream when I was about 6 or 7. And essentially, I had this image in my mind of what a Terminator was. Mm. I hadn't seen the movie. I think I saw a trailer.
You see, they're like,
what are they, like, teal? Not teal.
They're like titanium looking.
Tin robots.
Skeletal like bodies. They're not tin, but.
They're like chrome looking.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, very
okay,
metallic.
Chrome.
They're,
yeah,
like, they're killing
right.
machines. They're Terminators.
So I had a dream that a massive one showed up in my bedroom and put both of my parents in a massive black trash bag.
What?
And took them away from me. Okay, so that's another trauma story. And that's why I refused to watch it, because it was terrifying.
Describe to me what the Terminator looked like.
Like exactly kind of how I was saying, like the shiny chrome, you could say tin, but not really tin.
They look
more futuristic.
Like
metallic.
A little bit.
Yeah, metallic. Yeah. And they had red eyes, and it was kind of like... maybe like Bender from Futurama.
Wow.
It would be like way mature, less scary if they
but like
scary.
A mature
see,
version.
Either. I'm dying to get her to watch that.
Oh, Futurama is amazing.
It's one of the funniest cartoons
so
ever.
So back before I ever dated Ryan, I knew that he liked Futurama and I knew that he liked a few different things. So I actually watched a few episodes of Futurama. Ryan, I'm confessing in front of the world.
Wow.
That I watched a few episodes of Futurama.
It took this to get you to admit this to me.
This is Maury. Springer.
Yeah.
No, Jerry. I did. I have watched a few episodes. I think I told you that I've seen a few episodes, but it was because of you. Another thing that I watched because of Ryan, he used to be obsessed with what's
Scrubs.
That? No, I haven't watched that one. The other one with the girl with the blue hair.
Scott Pilgrim.
Scott Pilgrim.
Yeah, I watched that movie because I knew Ryan.
That
liked
movie
it.
Slapped.
It's a great movie.
We watched. Me and Casey watched that like 2 or 3 weeks ago.
Such
like,
a good movie.
Like, I love that movie. It's incredible.
I don't remember any part of it.
Well, you know,
unfortunately,
I was just going to say, like, come on, man, you got to give Terminator a chance. Imagine this. It's like basically, okay, the kid's name is John Connor, which if you know anything about James Cameron, also JC, coincidentally, he puts a lot of like esoteric symbolism into his movies. And it's argued that John Connor is like this sci-fi Christ-like savior figure. The whole plot of the movie is John Connor is this child who like is the only one who has the, for some reason, you know, It makes sense in the movie. He's the only one who can like stop this AI overlord mind from destroying mankind on Earth. And like this kid is so important that the Terminators are sending robots from the future to terminate this kid from even being born to kill his mom. And then he's born and then they're sending Terminators to kill the kid. But then more Terminators are coming back from the future to stop the evil Terminators. No. And it gets crazier and crazier.
It's insane. Too complex.
It's really not though. It's an 80s movie.
That is so hard.
It's like boom. Time travel. I'm from the future. Come with me if you want to live. Like, they're awesome movies.
But, I like that.
That's kind of like The Matrix, how like all the Sentinels are coming to kill Neo.
Exactly.
Because he's like the one that's going to free everybody.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I was saying the JC thing because his initials are JC and people, you know how movie symbolism goes. People are speculating that it's like a reference to Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
And he's literally like the savior. You know, he has like an immaculate conception.
Well, a lot of people have been requesting that for a Discord movie night. So if we do it, then you got to watch it.
Speaking of the Discord, I want to shout out my man, Jeremy West.
Sending
me the shirt.
Oh, he sent you that shirt.
You probably can't see it, but it's really cute. It says Feeling the Healing on it.
Aww.
And it has a little crystal on it. And then it says Raising the Vibration for a Higher State of Being. And it's like probably one of the deepest pieces of merchandise that I own. So shout out to
Thank
Jeremy.
Thank you, Jeremy.
Shout out,
Thank
Jeremy.
Thank you.
Thanks to you, my wife is New Age dripping.
So yes, that's exactly right.
You brought up a traumatic dream you had about Terminators. And now we're going to just kind of shed away the Terminator conversation.
Okay, let's do
and
it.
We're going to get a little bit more into dreams. Because you tend to sometimes have very profound dreams and sometimes they come true.
Yeah.
So I know there were some dreams that you wanted to get into today.
Yeah. It's also something that you're just like super interested in, right?
Yeah. I started dream journaling this year. Everyone's like, why haven't you started a dream journal? Honestly, it's just effort. It's like, it's like hard to get up and then like, oh, let me journal. And I haven't done it as frequently as I thought I would. Because some dreams, it's like whenever you wake up, some dreams are very, like they feel very far away. You don't remember much. Foggy.
Totally. Yeah.
And then some are so vibrant. And I don't ever want to write down the ones that feel foggy. Because then it'll be like, saw my dad, saw a rooster,
but you
like
should.
At the store.
You should, because it trains your brain to subconsciously pay more attention to them and memorize them. But it sucks because there's some dreams that like you remember forever. And then there's some dreams you only remember the second you wake up and then it's gone.
Right. Like I can't believe you remembered a dream from when you were like seven. Like I couldn't.
Oh my gosh.
Well, actually, you know, I did tell that story recently about that like weird sleep paralysis dream I had when I was little. So
that's different.
It's different.
The traumatic ones that stick with you.
So you've got some too.
I remember two dreams from childhood very vividly and both were getting kidnapped.
Really?
Yeah.
I had recurring dreams.
See, I have recurring dreams too, but like as far as recalling like really old dreams, I don't know that I do a lot of that. But you just recently started dream journaling.
Yeah, only as of 2023.
In the last 3 weeks, yeah.
Well, yeah, this year. But some of my childhood dreams stick out the absolute most. And it was really interesting. And I really started paying attention to them and paying attention more to my dreams after I talked with Vincent Jenna, who was on the
Shout
show last
Vincent.
Year.
We love Vincent Jenna.
Yeah.
Shout
he's
out
the
Vincent.
Psychic medium.
Yeah.
And he's awesome. But he told me or told us to pay attention to our dreams because they are like they could be past lives or symbols or whatever. And ever
or future
since,
lives.
Ever since the past lives thing, I've been really, really like if I'm in a place where I'm completely not familiar with any part that's around me, I'm like, okay, like that triggers me kind of.
In a dream?
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Like I had one really significant dream and I feel like I'm flying away from the first dream. But okay, for the second dream though, I think I might have told this during my first episode with you guys, but it was the one where I was like in a completely different time period and it was like a war zone and there were like, I was in a subway that was crashed and there were fires all around me and it's still so vibrant.
I don't really remember this dream.
Oh, it's so vibrant in my brain. Like one of my more...
Well, what happened?
It was so sad. I don't know. I might want to like place a little bit of a trigger warning just because it's a little bit of a sad dream. But essentially what it was it was a war zone and there was a baby was mangled and had gotten really messed up in the war.
You had this dream when you were a kid?
This was whenever I was a teenager.
Oh my God.
And I was like on the subway startled. And I feel like I was part of an organization that like had like people onto this crash subway to like be part of the hospital. Like they turned it into a medical center or something during Whoa. The war. I don't know. It was weird. So I told Vincent Jenna about that dream and he was like, oh my gosh, like that 100% sounds like a past life. Like you need to pay attention to things when you're completely unfamiliar with them, because I'm like, that's totally not like me. Like, it's not like me to think about certain that time period, war, like any of those things is not significant to me. And also the dream was like vibrant red and orange, and if anybody knows me, I hate red. I hate the color red. So she I wouldn't does. Have wanted yeah, yeah. to see that. It was like, it was just very like I said, it was fires ablaze all around me.
Jeez.
And I'm just like, it's like everything I hate, like
yeah.
war, violence, this baby's all messed up, and then now this.
That sounds so bizarre and out of context that it feels like it like has to be like a past life thing.
Exactly. And that's what I just think is so interesting about them. But
what? Yeah. What, Alex? What are you over there gigging for?
I have there was a dream that I brought up to Vincent, too.
Oh, what did he say?
What is it?
Yeah, it's actually very interesting. Just to preface this story, I've never done cocaine in my entire life.
Okay.
Like, I swear, right? So I had this reoccurring dream where I was doing cocaine with Johnny Depp.
Dude, I promise, I've never done cocaine.
I have Johnny Depp dreams too, Alex.
Well, and this was during the trial. His trial. So I'm like, okay, the Johnny Depp part there is not like...
It's not too irrelevant.
Anyway, I had this dream two or three times, and then we had Vincent on the show. And I'm like, hey, Vincent, this is the dream I keep having. I had this, like, I did it with him. Then I'm like running around this warehouse, and then I went back to him. I'm like, yo, give me some more of that. He's like, uh-uh, you're cut off. I'm like, okay. So I told Vincent, and Vincent's just like... He said, what does Johnny Depp mean to you? And I'm like, he's just this carefree guy. It's like the Pirates of the Caribbean Johnny Depp. And he's like, okay... You just need to take a vacation. Like, you just need to chill and go, like, relax for a little while. That's what your dream means. I'm like, okay.
That's Whoa. It. Because you're, like, doing coke with this super laid-back guy in your mind. I imagine him in full, like, Captain Jack Sparrow regalia doing cocaine with you.
Well, like I said, I have Johnny Depp dreams, okay? I had a recent one, and it's in my dream journal.
What?
Yeah. I had a recent Johnny Depp dream.
Hold on. Is Johnny Depp just like invading people's dreams?
Or
is he
a dreamwalker?
Is he like Freddy Krueger or something?
It's pretty.
No, oh my God. He was in the first Freddy Krueger movie. That was one of his first ever movies.
Whoa.
Yes.
It might have been his first movie. It was Nightmare on Elm Street.
I forgot about that.
It was
that.
Either that or Crybaby.
He was a kid.
Yeah.
Yes.
He's like 17.
If you've had a Johnny Depp dream, please come forward in the comments.
Please call.
On Bledsoe said so. Johnny Depp is the real Freddy Krueger.
We are officially now investigating Johnny Depp for being a dream walking nightmare freak. So if you have had any Johnny Depp dreams or nightmares,
do not take the cocaine from him.
Don't.
Well, I had drugs in it too. Listen.
Wait,
okay?
What?
Yes. I'm telling you, he's bringing drugs into people's dreams.
Well, I mean, just to play devil's advocate, it was openly discussed on the trial, his drug use.
Hey.
So that concept is out there.
I was one of those people that, like, I work from home, and I did turn on the trial every day.
I'm glad
and
you did,
up.
Because I enjoyed hearing it, but I didn't care to watch it.
Well, but that's
I enjoyed
the thing
hearing it
is
from you.
My favorite part about watching a trial, I don't care what it's about, is I just like the nature of law. Like, I just think, like, the argumentative
the order,
stuff. Yeah, like, it's so fascinating. And there were times where I know, like, I would call objections before the judge or, like, before the lawyers would. And then I would be like, Ryan, can you believe it? I got the objection. Like,
and I'm like, wow.
Objection, yeah. Argumentative.
Yeah.
10 million other people probably did.
Yeah, yeah.
It's like a game show
for
you.
It's just not fun.
Yeah.
I called
it's
the objection.
It's kind of sad that we're watching the humiliation
it's sad.
Breakdown of someone. It's like, yeah. Just like pumped on it.
And well, I was never.
It's
like
I was mob
never.
Mentality.
Like really into it to where I was like tweeting all about it every day. I was like, everyone would ask me, so what do you think? And I'm like, I don't know what to think. I'm just watching it for entertainment. Like and not entertainment because
I
find joy from that, but it's just interesting.
It is interesting. Yeah. I don't care who you are. It's interesting.
Honestly, look, I'll make a confession. Lately, like for the past week or two, I have been borderline addicted to watching trials. Like there's people on YouTube who will throw together like these documentaries, like hour long documentaries covering like true crime, like, you know, cases and stuff. And it's almost all I've been watching lately.
Nick, I used to love Judge duty? Mathis.
Huh?
If you had jury duty?
I have never had jury duty.
You'd like that.
You probably actually.
If you got forced to be there, you know?
Yeah, true.
It's a major inconvenience. But
I'd much rather be in my underwear watching it at home.
I don't know.
Can you imagine being part of the jury on that Johnny Depp thing?
Dude.
Like, can you imagine if there's like a diehard John? I mean, those people wouldn't be allowed to be part of the jury in the first place. But if they were, like, can you imagine that? Like,
it would be so hard to ignore all of the, because when you go into jury duty, they're like, you can't read any media. You can't like go on Twitter. Mm. And I'm like, for the cases that we're covering locally, like nobody's talking about these cases, yeah. But like the Johnny Depp, everybody's talking about the case. So it would be so hard to be a jury member and to have to ignore all of that stuff.
That's true, because when it was happening, literally everyone was talking about it.
Yeah.
Wow, we derailed this hard.
I'm sorry.
That was
to show how much he invaded our dreams. You
know? Poison. No, but what he did in my dream is we were having a podcast hangout night, all of us. Like, it was us.
In the dream? Or
plus Johnny Depp.
So I was there too?
Nice.
Yeah. Whoa. Maybe we're connected.
Whoa.
Wow. Interesting. Hold on.
What if it was the same night?
I don't
know. Was this pre-Vincent Jenna?
No, before. After, sorry. Yeah. But so what he did is, but we were like, he was giving us.
Were we here?
Some sort of drug. Yeah. We were in my apartment, wow. In my place. And he was giving us like drugs and weird, and just weird things started happening. But Johnny Depp was apparently in my dream some sort of ex-lover or something. Whoa. And we had drama there. And all I remember is he gave us, this was not a very vivid dream, but he gave us the drugs and we had been fighting all day and arguing and he was trying to humiliate me and like was mimicking me and not being nice. And then he was like being abusive after I like called him out for.
So he's being a crybaby.
Jenny, you were Amber Heard in this dream.
I wonder.
You were Amber Heard in this dream. Like, no. like literally.
That's how insulting.
Yeah.
But anyway, yeah, no. And I have also had another one. I just don't remember.
What was your first dream? You never told the first one. You only told the second one.
What was the context behind the first one? I don't even remember.
Yeah, you did. You did. You said the first one.
You said, I'm flying by the first one. And then we talked about the second one.
The
It'll come to you.
Yeah. The first one that she talked about just a second ago was... didn't it have something to do with, like, I don't remember.
I honestly don't remember. We just moved past it.
Yeah, I don't remember.
I wanted to talk about your recent dream that has that, you know what I'm talking about. That dream that you just had recently is what made you say, I want to come on the show again. Do you want to give the whole lowdown on that?
Oh, my gosh. So that was fun. And I'm glad that you brought that up because I did want to talk about it. But so we have had... If you remember Emily's second episode, part two episode, they talked about certain tapes that she had gotten from the Monroe Institute. And since then, the Monroe Institute, the people from the Monroe Institute have also sent them to Ryan and I because their family was associated with the program and those things.
Well, it's out now. So we're safe to say that the final chapter of Dad's book is entirely about his experience. At
yeah,
the
exactly.
Institute.
I forgot
and
about that.
Dad's manager, who is also mentioned in the last chapter of the book and in the acknowledgments, is... He's in the board at Monroe.
Yeah.
So we have a connection there to, you know.
Yeah. So he passed them on to us and I was interested in it because we covered this during my last episode is whenever I first started having really meaningful paranormal experiences with the Bledsoe family was after listening to tapes.
And this would have been 2015.
It had taken me 2 years to experience something after already being in a relationship with Ryan for 2 years and being friends with Emily since many years before then. And so it was just really always frustrating for me because I'm like, okay, like, I guess they don't like
it
me
sucks
very much.
Because you fully believed, but because you were so determined to see something, it was like,
probably
it was most likely getting in the way.
Or it could like have me when honestly, I was a kid. It could have been honest disbelief shifting to belief. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And I'm not saying I ever disbelieved, but you know, it's a,
there's a really, small part of the brain.
It's
that
a
has
shocking
a voice
thing to go
is,
into.
It's real. It's true.
Yeah. It's really shocking.
I've met a thousand people with
at that point. I had heard all of these CIA, NASA agents, everybody talking about that, you know? So it wasn't that I was like totally disbelieving. It was just like, what if in the back of my mind?
For sure.
Like the devil on your shoulder,
yeah.
The angel on your shoulder.
I think everybody that hears about this stuff probably has that at first.
That's what our human body does to us. I can tell you
without a doubt that it is 50-50. People either immediately believe or they don't.
Yeah. Yeah, I feel
that. It is either way.
Oh, and we should say, when you say you've been you were listening to the tapes are like sacred frequencies.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. From the Monroe Institute, they have different frequencies and different kinds of nature sounds, and it's mixed by a professional, I guess. But
Audio engineers.
Yeah, they...
Hired by Monroe.
Yeah, they mix it all together and then put out these tapes. So many, many, many years ago, I was listening to the Hemisync tapes.
Which is a Monroe frequency.
Yes,
it's
yes.
It's their earlier version.
Yes, back in the day from 2015. But I listened to those and it had opened me up to really powerful dreams that I've addressed before. But for, and I started seeing like beings in my dreams and actually experiencing them while I was awake as well. And so this past time that I listened to the tapes, I listened to the tape for the first time and I had a very stressful wedding dream. Okay. Which seems meaningless, but I'm getting somewhere. Mm-hmm. So it was one of those stressful wedding dreams where you're like, where's my hair and makeup person? Where's my, like, where am I?
Like it is in real life.
Yeah. Like how come none of my bridesmaids are here? Like it was just really crappy. But the main part of my dream that I noted is stress and nobody's doing my hair and I don't know where I'm at. So later on in that day, I ended up seeing Emily again, Ryan's younger sister. And I was like, Emily, oh my gosh, I had the worst dream last night. I had a stressful wedding dream. And she goes, no way, me too. And I was like, what? And she's like, yeah, I had a dream that like you wouldn't help me with my hair. I'm like, I know. I had the dream that you wouldn't help me with my hair. And we were getting all like, what? You know what I mean? So I was like, where were you? Where were you in the dream? And she was like, I have no idea. I'm like, I don't either. What was that place? We just kind of synced up and we were like, okay, like we get it. We get it. Like, where were we at that point? Because turns out she had listened to the tapes that same night as well.
Listened to the same one.
And it was just really strange. It was like the weirdest synchronicity. And we were in the middle of all. And at the time, like the book was being written. It was just a lot of like hype and all of this. So we just like immediately were like, oh my gosh.
I mean, it's
total synchronicity. Something is going right.
It's so weird. Like you had almost the identical dream at the same time. Now, here's what I want to know. Unprompted. How do you think that happens? Or what do you think that means that you and Emily had the exact same dream?
Well, my perspective is that when you're in real life is when you're in the dream. I know that sounds kind of cliche, but for me, it's like our consciousness. Yeah. but I feel like that's the real us. This is the stage, right?
Well, so that's even taught by the mystery.
Exactly. This is us being put on the stage and then we're actually linking up in the spiritual realm. And another thing Vincent Jenna told me is that the same souls stay with you forever and ever and ever and ever.
Right.
Like where you are, like what souls that you are around, you will be around those souls forever. Whether one is, you know, whether your mother is your daughter in this life, whether your brother is your dad in this life.
Right.
Like,
you'll always be in the
same soul circle. For me, I just honestly think that it was written in the stars that I was always meant to be near Emily and Ryan, and I know that our souls are very close together and that we have that power to be able to join in that other realm because that's where our real selves are. And then this is just us on the stage,
right?
Connecting all of the
just
dots,
playing a part,
yeah, and just kind of like picking up on it.
I know that's true because the only reason I genuinely asked you out in the first place is because I had a full blown entity experience the night before our first date, and when we were hanging out, it wasn't a date,
right?
We were just gonna go like grab lunch,
yeah,
and you know. I've already told the story a handful of times, but the night before I was just so nervous. And it's not like I was nervous to hang out with her. I was nervous because I was like, this is my sister's best friend. Is this the right move? I can't stop hanging out with her, but like, should I not be this kind of thing? And I saw a fully visual white entity. And when I say white, I don't mean like human skin. I mean like it was a white light.
Right. Yeah.
You know, it was a white light and it flashed across the yard. And then all that other stuff I've told before, the door locking on me, all the lights flipping off and all this stuff. And I was like, all right, I'm on the right track. And then next thing you know, I told you the next day, like I'm, you know, I didn't exactly ask you out that day, but I basically made it pretty clear, and then the rest is history. And I don't take entity manifestations lightly, you know? Yeah. So definitely. I mean, I do feel the same way. Like, we probably do have some soul. All of us, really.
I mean, for sure. Like
even if you break it down, like, even me and Nick's friendship is so weird.
Oh, it is.
It's so weird. And then, like, and me and Alex,
how
we met.
You guys have been intertwined forever, for sure.
Yeah.
And I have an equal friend, too, that I'm always like, okay, my friend Randy.
Shout out, Randy.
She's always been my Nick, right? Like, yeah,
literally.
Like, and it's really funny. Like,
she's always said that.
Yeah.
Always.
Yeah.
Like 10 and years we've almost been
together. I just think that we've just been intertwined for sure. There's too many synchronicities. Like it's so strange. But for you, the wildest thing is having Christopher or what was it? Being sketched
Chris.
Into
it was just Chris.
Chris being sketched into your house.
Because just in case there's listeners who don't remember that story. Nick grew up in the house that my dad's first wife lived in. That my dad built.
Yeah.
So the first time I ever went to Nick's house, my dad had his name with his own hand was scratched into the windowsill in the wood permanently from like the 80s.
Yeah. For years growing up.
The 70s
up.
Maybe.
Yeah. Yeah. For years growing up, we would just like see that and just be like, what? Like, why is that there? And then years into our friendship, I found out that your dad built the house and I was like, wait a minute.
Yeah.
His
wife's family lived there. So that's why he did it.
Yeah.
It's because it was his wife's house. Mm-hmm.
No, I agree with that, what you were saying, like souls are intertwined and they kind of reincarnate together and they stick to the same, like in a pack or whatever, you know. Me and Alex used to fuck in a previous incarnation. You know what I'm saying?
I did not expect that.
You know what I'm saying? Like it's cyclical and whatever. The thing that's interesting to me is like, for instance, like, you know, Emily and your dad at Monroe, or even her name?
Amy.
Yeah, shout out Amy.
Shout out
by
Amy.
The way, that was an amazing
joy.
Episode. Yeah, Illuminating Joy. But like they like saw each other consciously in the
astral, whatever you want to call
that's,
it.
Yeah,
that's what's interesting to me because like. You know, like Carl Jung talks about like the collective unconscious, which is like the concept that like the dream realm is sort of like an actual place that our souls kind of travel to when we're unconscious or asleep or whatever. And like if you're seeing other souls in that realm, that makes sense to me. But it's like you and Emily had the same exact dream, but from a first person perspective without seeing each other there, which is like. Almost kind of extra weird to me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like only difference is who was the observer.
That's what I'm saying.
That's the only difference.
Like it would almost be less weird if you saw Emily there and Emily saw you there.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like that part is just super bizarre to me. Because it's like you were the same person.
That is really strange.
Jenny and I started having really weird synchronistic moments very early on in our relationship. Like shortly after we got together, a couple years after we got together, I graduated college and for a while I didn't know exactly what I was going to do. I knew at some point we were moving here together and it was kind of hard to just like get started on something when you know you're going to move to a new town. So I worked construction with my dad and my brother for a while. And there was one day where I was painting the wall. I wasn't even listening to music. I was like literally in a person's house just painting. And I was singing this song. That it was a well-known song. I don't remember the artist or the song, but it's something that like you've heard on the radio your whole life, like a very well-known household type song. And I was just singing it. And Jenny texted me from like 25 miles away.
Oh my gosh. I forgot about this.
Telling me, oh, so-and-so song's on the radio.
Whoa.
She was listening to it.
And
it just
and
popped
what
in my
was
head.
It? Evanescence?
No. No. It wasn't Red Hot Chili Peppers, but it was some kind of just like regular radio hit that is always on the radio. But like, I don't listen to that.
I
listen to death metal.
But Ryan, we had a synchronicity over Evanescence too, though.
Probably.
At one point. Do you remember that?
I don't.
Do you?
It's no. Oh. That's why I'm asking. It wasn't the Wake Me Up Inside. It was the
The other
My
one.
Mortal.
Oh, yeah.
Which is like, oh my gosh.
It's ringing a bell. I feel like we did have a synchronicity about that because we both love that song too.
Think on it. But I want to go back to seeing spirits in dreams because you're right. That's a deeper concept. It's really strange to think about, like, I don't know, just being present and seeing the spirits. But anyway, so I had a dream whenever my grandma died. The night that I found out that my mom's mom had passed away, my mom had woken me up in my sleep. So my mother's from Germany. So they are 5 hours ahead, 6 hours ahead in the time. And my mom had gotten a call at 3 a.m. that her mother had passed away. And I'm an only child and my mom and I are best friends. So the first thing that she does is she runs in my room and wakes me up from my sleep and was crying her eyeballs out saying, Oma has passed away, and she was just hysterical. And, you know, I'm just like waking up processing it, but also I understand that, you know, why she would have done that. I know she's freaking out.
Did you say how old you were when this happened?
Oh, no, 2012.
Oh, 2012. Gotcha.
So, I don't
know. That was what, 10 years ago?
Yeah, 10 years ago. Yeah. So, I was a child, teenager.
Yeah.
Whenever I went back to sleep after all of that, I had a very significant dream that is, like I can see the image in my head. It's so vibrant, but essentially what it was a wooden floor and there was a glowing woman and she was walking away from me and I could see her glowing footsteps kind of linger and she walks out the door and leaves, like Whoa. She's leaving. And I think it was my grandma.
Wow.
100%. Because my mom also claims that, you know, my mom has lived away from Germany since 30 years now.
Yeah.
So she, you know, didn't get a whole lot of time with her parents. And she has always had, you know, the distance has always, I think, promoted some sort of a like spiritual thing where you kind of like look at something and then picture that it's like that you're there. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I think she's always had that and a spiritual like attachment to her family in Germany. So,
yeah.
So it was,
wasn't there something with your opa? Some sort of weird, like, didn't,
that's what I'm saying. Like they're like always paranormal things have always happened with my grandparents on my mom's side, I feel like. And yeah, like the night that my grandfather died, which was in 2001. So I was like a child. And my mom always kept my,
even like four.
Yeah, my mom always kept my door cracked to where like the door was touching, but it wasn't locked or like latched closed. So this is my bedroom door whenever I was asleep.
Uh-huh.
My mom would always keep my door like that. And the night that she found out that he died, my door had been wide open. And that never happens.
Oh,
do you remember that? I think I told that last time.
I could have sworn your mother told me she saw something in the house as well that same night that your opa died.
Gotcha. I don't remember.
Because your mom is like, she's pretty open-minded spiritually, right?
She's seen ghosts on numerous occasions.
Really?
Yes. There was a time that me and Jenny were there hanging out with her mom and dad. And behind us, it was either behind me or behind Jenny, she saw a ghost walk through the house, like live, like we're sitting right here talking to her.
Where?
At her parents' house. Her mother has always had paranormal experiences. And that's kind of like why I believe we were brought together.
The more wild thing is behind my neighborhood, there are a few houses back there, but there are gravestones.
Uh-huh.
And it's,
I did not know that.
It weirds me out.
Makes a lot of sense.
Yes, there are gravestones back there. And every time my mom says that she sees something, it's always like time period, colonial.
Right.
War looking.
She was telling me at you guys' wedding about a past life regression that she had that took place during like World War II or something like that.
Yeah. Like, she went through like three different times in that same regression. One of them was like World War II. One of them was like Jesus times. Mm-hmm. And then one of them was like 1800s in France.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think you're right though. I think that was probably because really what we're talking about is, I mean, you could call it so many different things, but it's like being spiritually sensitive or psychically sensitive.
Yeah.
Right. And it's like you obviously come from a family that is very spiritually sensitive, psychically sensitive. And it sounds like you do too. Like,
but you do too.
Well, sure. But I'm just saying like, that makes sense to me. The magnetic attraction and like all these weird synchronicities popping up. It's like the universe like nudging you guys together.
For sure.
I feel like it works like that.
Chris Jr. and his fiance are like that. She comes from a very like very spiritual, I guess, not like religious, but like spiritually minded family. We did a whole episode with Jack and we heard that mind blowing story that I learned on the show about a flash of light being above his grandmother when she was pregnant with his mother. Mm-hmm. And like, even things like you, like, dude, the more I talk to your dad, man, the more I realize how incredibly spiritual that man is. You're not just a teenager going to someone's house being like, wow, your mom and dad's very spiritual. You're not paying attention to that.
Right. Yeah.
You know, we're playing games. I didn't really notice that until as a grown man going and hanging out with your mom and dad. Like there's something. Yeah.
You know who my dad's favorite person in the world is?
Michael Jordan. Jenny? Oh, I know. Y'all don't even know. And Nick's mom's name is Jennifer, so that's even funnier. Yeah, that just enhances the...
I love him too, though.
Yeah, but, yeah, he's the
yeah,
best.
No, like hanging out. I just find myself being... And it's not even a conscious choice. It's like the more I talk to people that I'm very close to in my life and do some digging and pay attention, I find there's some really spiritual shit in their background. And I'm like, that explains it.
We all Alex's do. Dad, I think it's inherent. I think that whenever
it's
we're
the
born,
reason we're brought together.
When we're born, we're naturally supposed to be spiritual and in touch with consciousness. That's our most natural self. The second that we get here and we're influenced by everything that's around us,
all the distractions,
that's what's changing us. We're changing every single second, millisecond of our lives. We are rapidly changing. Yeah. Changing.
Mm-hmm. Even your biology.
Yes,
the cells,
exactly.
Trillions of cells
aging,
are dying and being reborn. Yeah.
It's wild. And that's another thing is like time is different, like with our bodies and with consciousness. You know what I mean?
Oh, time, yeah.
Like
time really only applies here in the physical realm.
In the right now. Like, yeah. Well, I'm saying a different tangent here, but what I was trying to say is like, according to like quantum physics or whatever, the only thing that is truly real, so to speak, is what is being observed in the exact present moment.
Yeah.
And it's like, that's the crazy thing. If you think about it, anything you've ever experienced that was real was only ever in the present.
Oh yeah.
And whatever you've experienced in the past and the future can be changed.
Mm-hmm. Like in your mind.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But that has an effect on reality. They've
of
proven
course.
That, you know?
Of course.
So it's like, it's just crazy when you think about it. Like we're always rapidly in the now, which is always now, you know, from your perspective, we're always changing.
Yeah. No, I think you said something really cool. Like when we come here to this realm, we're like unbridled. There are no filters. There are no distractions. Mm-hmm. There's none of that stuff. We're just a little antenna for all this spiritual energy and all this, you know, all this stuff. And then we get all these distractions, all this fear. Fear, I feel like, plays such a huge role in suppressing that.
You want to know what, though?
What?
That makes 2001 A Space Odyssey. So, I mean, I love that movie.
Fill out your bingo cards, people.
I haven't seen it in so long. But there was, whenever I first watched that movie, which is like 2 years ago, I watched it like... I probably watched it 10, 12 times
after
that.
We watched it together, right?
For the first time.
Yeah, yeah.
Every single day while I worked from home, I would play that movie because every single time that you look up and it's beautiful, it'll be beautiful no matter what. And the soundtrack is so beautiful.
Oh, yeah.
Music, the score.
And I have a thing for like old sound design too, like from the 60s and 70s. It all sounds so textural.
Yes.
You know what I mean?
So, but the fact that you're seeing that baby at the very end, spoiler alert, the it's the most raw form of like consciousness is inside of that little bubble.
Yeah.
It's a light being and it's encased.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
Within
like
energy.
How my dad
it's wild. Mm-hmm. And then your dad also calls them the children again.
Yeah.
It's that innocence. I don't know. It's all coming. It's all coming together.
Well, I feel like that's why, you know, for a long time you always hear like, oh, meditation is like the most spiritual thing you can do. It will put you in, you know, into contact with the collective consciousness. It'll center all this stuff. For a long time, I was like, how? Why?
Yeah.
Why would that help me? Whatever. But like, that is literally practicing breaking down all those filters that you're talking about.
Yeah.
From when we're born, all that stuff is getting jammed into our heads to distract us from the real thing. And meditation is trying to get back to the original feeling of like just being in touch.
And I've started doing yoga this year. And I will say that, like,
Wait, whoa. I thought you were a yoga expert. I seem to remember you
being an instructor.
Yeah, you were an instructor and you led a competition between
hold on now.
Two idiots that were screaming at
each
other.
We got to do this now in front of everybody.
Was it a past life?
No. Exactly. Man, I like the way he thinks.
I derailed you, but now.
No, you're fine. But I started taking yoga and I've been trying to, like, taking those moments to meditate are it's so great, important yeah. because I went to yoga first few times this year and it was perfect. It was great. I really enjoyed it. Last couple of times I've been going, I've been a little bit stressed. And I think it's because I've been more anxious in the past few weeks. And then also during one of the yoga classes, I couldn't join the open meditation because I had a call. I was on the phone with somebody.
Gotcha.
And so I missed the whole opening meditation, which is like about 10 minutes.
Yeah. The start and beginning of each class, at least where we go, is like you're just laying there meditating and then they kind of ease you into the stretches. So imagine there's a whole room of like 40 people, 30 people, like just laying there peacefully. And then when, you know, Jenny missed all that and she walks in right to the brutal stretches.
Yeah.
And it's not about
it jars the experience.
In my experience, that's how most yoga places are. It's meditate, right. Yoga, meditate.
But just conceptually imagine that. Yeah. Like, walking in.
But it's not even about the strength. And I didn't get to stretch. I didn't get to. No. Well, it's not even about that. For me, it was more like my mind wasn't with it. Mm. And I'm like, I was kind of grumpy in my mind. Like, no, like, I don't want to sit and do this lunge. I just don't feel like doing this. I don't want to do it. Whenever you meditate before, or like in my experience, whenever I do it normally and I don't miss opening meditation, it's so like you fall in love with your body once you get that chance to like,
I'm like not falling in love with my body. I'm like, damn, I wish I was stronger. That's just brutal.
You feel positive about your body.
Yeah,
you're
I feel positive.
So for me, it was just like, man, like, I really love my body whenever I'm stressed, but then whenever I don't do it, I'm just in a completely different mental space.
I love it. One thing I will say, I've done three. I just started. So Jenny went to some sessions before me to scope out the place. I've had engagements. I couldn't always go. We try to go once a week now. And I started going with her and I've been to yoga with her in the past and like was a student of martial arts for many years. And my first experience with yoga was like, I didn't care about it because at the time I didn't know anything about it. I didn't really understand the spiritual benefits of it. And I had just been on a short break from martial arts. So I was like, I'd rather just go back to Kung Fu. Like, I don't want to do this shit. Like, I'd rather go train.
Yeah.
So I had a different attitude back then, but I remember yoga was hard as hell because we used to do power yoga. It was like hot power yoga where it was like literally isometric, like strength building yoga.
It's just moving to move into
move. It was brutal. So I'm like scared to come back to this with her. And I will say that although it is rigorous, I'm never finding myself bored.
Mm.
Even in martial arts, which I was obsessed with, I had a difficult time. Like the good news is like, it's not like you had to focus on the drills. It was just a lot of repetitive, like, you know, placements of hands and, you know, things like that. It was so repetitive. You don't have to think, but I found myself so bored. Like, as much as I love the art, I was like, when's this going to end? When's this going to end? I'm ready to get out of here. Yoga, I'm not like that.
But you want to know
I'm
Ryan,
here right now.
Mm-hmm. I'm almost curious to know, and I don't know if this would change the state. I don't know if this would actually be applicable, but think about meditating before you go to Kung Fu. Like, what if you were to meditate before you went into Kung Fu class?
Yeah, I would do that now.
And you meditated in that same way to where you're like, I'm going to do this. You're telling yourself these affirmations. And then you go into Kung Fu class. I bet you you'd freaking kill it. Yeah, see, probably. The reason that yoga is so awesome is because you're meditating and every single move is intentional.
Yeah.
Every breath is intentional.
And she's constantly guiding you back to notice your...
Yes.
It's really wonderful.
Smile, yeah. Telling you to smile. You know, like telling you to pop your hip out.
She'll say smile and make us like laugh while we're doing it, and it does help.
So it's just like, I think the intention by it's the it's mind wonderful. Is so powerful.
It is.
The mind is so powerful because we're sitting here talking about it has so much power. Mm-hmm. We can literally dream things and we can literally set intentions.
It's all the mind. Everything.
It's crazy.
Everything is the mind. Like, if you want to get real spiritual with it, like real mystical, literally everything is one big mind, and this thing is just here, like you said, as it's like a dream, as it's like a distraction.
I think there's a hermetic law about that, actually.
It is.
Oh, really?
It's the first one.
Everything is mental.
Oh, right.
Everything exists within the mind of the all.
And then there's that like original transcription of the first...
Emerald tablet?
No. The first book of the Bible where, you know, it's like in the beginning was the Word and the Word was God and the Word was with God. Well, the original was Logos in Greek.
In the book of John.
Which is mind.
Yeah.
Oh, in the book of John. Right. Yeah. Which is mind.
Right.
In the beginning was the mind, and the mind was with God, and the mind was God.
Yeah.
Like, it's the most powerful thing.
And Greek mystics actually wrote that. Like, I'm not talking like what the Bible claims. I'm talking like real history.
Yeah.
Like Neoplatonist, Gnostic type Christian people.
Yeah.
But,
So with yoga, I have a question. I'm curious. Do you feel like, because every class I've ever gone to, it is like meditate, then you do the actual yoga, and then you meditate again.
Mm-hmm.
So it seems like they're very closely like intertwined. They're intertwined, the two of them. But I'm kind of curious, like, do you think that even if you weren't to meditate before or after, the act of just putting your body into those specific forms and shapes with the intention going into it, like, do you think that that still has a palpable spiritual effect?
Yes.
Yeah, it 100% does, because it's like they're just mudras.
Yeah.
Mudra doesn't necessarily just mean specifically to hands. It just means gesture. But the reason I believe it's so good for you is because trauma, as you know, especially with your dad and my mom, you know, being told this about fibromyalgia, trauma is stored subconsciously in the body.
Mm-hmm.
And yoga is like this ancient system that these sages figured out how to put your body in these intricate stretches to release that trauma.
Mm-hmm.
It's the way I feel after a good hot yoga session is like, it's like a massage, but it's not on the outside. It's on the inside.
Yeah. Like, you know, Jenny's favorite show, Naruto. It's like, you know,
show.
With the hand signs and stuff, they do that to channel their chakra in specific ways. And like, it's mudras. It is. It's literally,
it's like a play on mudras.
It's a depiction of mudras. And yeah, to be honest, I never really thought about yoga as being like the body mudras.
But
yeah.
So the
everything
reason,
is mudra.
The reason that's that meditation is so important, again, is because we're humans. And because without mental strength, it's really hard to do much of anything.
Mm-hmm.
And your body has given you limitations. So it makes it hard to do certain mudras.
Yeah.
And so then you kind of have to have the mental strength to hold it and to breathe properly and to, you know, so I think that it's just much harder if you don't meditate, especially because you're meditating to get your mind right.
Right, sure.
To silence your mind. Your body, you know, will do it whether you meditate or not, but it's getting that certain effect and putting that intention toward what you're doing.
Awareness.
It probably also has like an energetic effect.
Yes.
Because, you know, like when you meditate, you go into that like flow state and you become more high vibrational, more energetically sensitive. So it's almost like supercharging yourself before you do the mudras. So that the mudras are, is this a pose, by the way? Is this a yoga pose?
I'm not quite sure that one.
I thought you were an expert.
That's the wacky waving inflatable arm.
This one.
So it
is.
So it is one. Okay. Okay. It is one. So when you do the pose like this, if you're like in a flow state or if you've been meditating, it's like you're energetically charged. So those, you know, those moves.
And you also have
the
strength.
You know what I just remembered?
What?
When we like first started talking again and you guys came over to that party, you and I have a picture on the wall of us going like this.
That was used to be my favorite thing.
That's crazy.
I
just like subconsciously did that. But there's literally a picture on our wall of me and Jenny going like that.
Yeah.
That's weird.
That was kind of like a friendship thing we had going on there.
Yeah.
We should bring it back.
We should.
I hate to cut your friendship short, but we're at an hour. So
what?
I know. So
just because we end the show doesn't mean I'm done with Nick.
I'm just making a segue. I'm not sitting here trying to wreck a home or nothing.
I live at your home.
Listen, before we go, are there any other dreams or any profound synchronicities?
Man, in the moment, it's hard to remember.
Well, it's cool. You'll have time to think. It's not like you'll never be on the show again.
Yeah.
Well, I guess we'll allow you to come back.
I wish.
I guess.
No, that would be great. But no, I can't really think of any dreams right now. But all I'm saying is just for me, taking a second to silence your mind and, you know, meditate more can help, I think, can help make your dreams more powerful. I think that's the whole message just kind of behind everything, because whenever you're not tuning in to so many things in this real life and putting your attention towards so many things, like,
you can turn your attention inwards.
Yes, inwards. And you know how sometimes you do something like, oh, I ate chicken today, and then in your dream, like, you dream of a chicken or something. Does that ever happen to anybody?
No. Maybe Jack.
Like, you dream of, like, Jack. Yeah.
Yeah, maybe Jack.
You dream of, like, a representation of what happened yesterday. Like, if I watched Barney yesterday, he might show up in my dream, is what I'm trying to say.
How often do you watch Barney?
Not much recently.
Oh, no. Guys, wait. Okay. Did you see that they rebranded Barney?
I did.
Bro, Barney's coming back. There's an animated show coming
back. Ryan, that's what we're talking about.
I think it's pretty cool. He got the surgery that all the celebrities are getting.
I'm not a fan. You know,
you got cheek filler?
They take out all the cheek fat.
Oh.
Listen, he's looking gaunt. I saw that yesterday because I was at my, I don't have cable, but I was at my coworker's house. She has cable, and the Today Show was on, and here comes Barney,
CGI
quote
Barney.
Unquote Barney. I was like, that is not my Barney.
Not my Barney.
It's not my Barney.
Hashtag not my Barney, guys.
You know how upset I was at that? Like, he used to be my everything. 1 year's old, I dressed up as Barney Halloween.
I did too. I don't think I was one, but when I was really little, Barney, first of all, was my number one favorite
mine
thing.
Mine too. So you're triggered too then.
Huh?
You're triggered about the new look.
Oh, very
too,
triggered.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because you're
but
a real fan like me.
I was obsessed with Barney,
facts.
And I don't really have an opinion about it. You know why?
Why?
It's because I'm like 29 years old.
Ryan,
shut up. You're a hater. Listen. Hashtag not my Barney.
You're going to have a kid someday, I think, because I want a kid.
And
if
they'll
you
be watching
kid.
Dragon Ball
but
Z.
But listen.
They'll be listening to death metal.
Yeah.
They'll be watching
Barney's
Naruto.
Barney's a dragon.
Barney will be, no, a dinosaur.
Yeah, he's a dinosaur,
idiot.
That,
they're like
Alex,
one and the same, right?
Shut
Alex,
up.
We're going to have to talk after this.
Shut up,
this
Alex.
Is bad. But no, you know, it's nostalgic.
Yeah.
But you know what? Not my Barney. Maybe I won't be watching it.
Not my Barney.
You lost a viewer today, Barney.
Just two. You lost two.
Get it
just
right,
play the classics.
ABC.
Is it ABC?
Well, but PBS? The old one's kind of creepy now that you look at him.
All right, let's get out of here.
Yeah, this is like just crashing.
Well, this is turning into a Barney episode.
I think this is the best content of the whole episode.
It's turning into a riot about Barney's appearance. Honestly, hey, to be fair, I haven't really gotten a good look at what it looks like. Mm-hmm. I just saw that it doesn't like look bad.
It does.
He really looks ridiculous.
Yes, he does.
Well,
it's just not my
Barney. Okay, you know what? Can you pull up a picture so before this episode airs, we can confirm right
pull
now?
Pull it up. We're going to do it live.
I want to see. I want to give my honest assessment.
Yeah.
Okay, I'm Googling Barney new look.
I have a real deep dream
pass it
if
on.
You want me to talk about that.
He looks like... He looks like he's part of a different cast.
So it's like that?
Yeah, like
it's
it like looks that. Like he's in a different cast.
Bro, it looks like a big purple frog.
Yeah,
I know.
Hashtag not my Barney.
All right.
Y'all
ready for the
bye,
guys?
Wait, first though, love you so much, Jenny. Thank
you. I hope you guys had fun.
It was awesome.
Oh, are you
it
kidding?
Always is. That zipped
I
by.
Hope
I can't.
So.
I can't believe that was an hour.
It was wonderful.
You're literally always welcome to come and do this with us. You're literally our manager
too.
Yeah,
I literally.
So.
Typically, I sit on the other side of the door with my ear pressed against the door, and I have tears in my eyes because I can't. Join every time, but no, I'm just kidding.
All the social,
but I'm just a wall away.
Yeah, just a wall
right
away.
On the other side of the wall.
All the social media presence, all the marketing, all that stuff. That's 100% Jenny. She's our boss.
Yeah,
she's straight up our boss.
Jenny is our
fun.
Boss.
She is.
If you guys ever saw My Life as Liz,
yes,
I feel like that's me sometimes.
That's you.
I like her.
Jenny
really
is my
do.
Boss daily. Like without her. Without her, I can't even get out of bed and function.
Facts. I think we should stress that a little bit, though. Like, without Jenny,
this
would not air,
nope.
Right? I mean,
never.
We could probably all get in the same room and have these same conversations, but, like, the whole go-to-market for this would just not
happen. It just wouldn't happen.
But without all of us, though.
Sure, yeah.
Yeah, but this episode's about
Nick
you.
If Nick wasn't sitting on the couch, if Ryan
don't
wasn't
deflect
sitting
it.
On the couch.
Don't deflect it, Jenny.
Oh,
it's,
shoot.
It's,
you know what?
This would
that
not
is
happen
to
without
work
your
on.
Direction.
Yeah. Thank you, boys.
You know what?
That
that's
was so
critically
sweet.
True. You are a critical self-neglector.
Yeah.
When people give you praise and compliments, you neglect. And you know what? You are amazing.
Yeah.
Neglect and deflect.
Neglect that.
Deflect.
Neglect and deflect.
Yeah. That's what I was meaning to say deflect. Yeah,
yeah,
deflect.
Yeah, yeah,
neglect
yeah, yeah.
and deflect.
I think you were meaning to say negate and deflect. But you said,
well, now we're just going to debate.
Oh my God. Oh my God. Yeah.
See what happens when I get involved.
This is what happened. No.
No, but I really do appreciate it. And this is a lot of fun. I have fun with it. Yeah. And all, I will say there's so many people I know. They're like, I'm so jealous that you have something that you're passionate about that you can work on outside of work or whatever. And it really is nice to, this is definitely my passion project. And when people ask me what my job is, like, I feel like this is part of my job.
It is. And nobody could do it better than you. Nobody.
Oh my gosh. Same for you guys though. But oh,
you're doing it.
Thank
again.
You. Yep. Thank there you. You go. There you go.
I'm not crazy, people. You just saw it live.
All right, let's hit them with it.
All right, ready? You ready? Love you. Thanks for coming on the show.
Love your eye.
Aww. That's my Valentine.
That's my. I was gonna say the same. You're my favorite.
And I did ask, and I got her flowers, real and Lego flowers, because she wanted Lego flowers.
Ryan got me the Lego set. He came through, guys. My coworkers were asking me, let us know.
Bro, I don't care how old you are. I don't care who you are. When your wife says, I want a Lego bouquet of flowers, you buy that shit.
I love Legos. I'm getting into puzzles. I got myself a puzzle table.
They're expensive. Casey's been asking me for one of those for a long time, and they're just expensive, bro.
I know, but that's why I did it for Valentine's Day.
Yeah, I feel
it's one day a year.
I feel you. All right, let's hit him with it.
I really needed my Lego set.
Ready?
Bye, guys.